of our Reset 2020, we're reestablishing keys to starting the new year and the new decade strong. So today's keys are fear and forgiveness. Fear and forgiveness. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 in the Amplified. If you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated, at the right hand of God. Set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. So we shared last week two keys, faith and fasting, and we encourage you, if you missed that, go back and listen to it, because we really shared the importance of faith and the program of fasting that God has set forth for all the believers to engage in times that are called upon or proclaimed in your life or led by the Holy Spirit in your life. So faith and fasting. Today we're going to be talking about fear. We're not talking about the ungodly evil fear. We're talking about godly holy fear. And then we're talking about forgiveness. Next week we'll talk about family and food and fitness. And then next week we're going to be talking about finances and focus. So think of these as eight changes that to a fresh start to a new year and a decade in the year of your life. Amen. So let's dive into fear right off. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he was condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. Everybody say, have grace. By which we may serve God acceptably and with reverence and what? Godly fear. Grace is needed to serve God acceptably. Amen. With reverence and godly fear. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 7. Ecclesiastes 5, chapter 5, verse 7 says this: for in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity. But fear God. Everybody say, fear God. Fear God. Amen. Ecclesiastes 12:13 kind of sums it up a little bit. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He first starts, fear God. And keep his commandments, for this is man's all. In the King James, says this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. 1 Peter 2:7 says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God. You getting the picture? Honor the king. Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. In other words, in our serving capacity, we are to submit to one another. In other words, submit to the gift of God in them. For what reason? What motivation? In reverential fear, honor, and awe of God. Because they have a gift from God in them. So in a serving capacity, in a church capacity, in a working together in the ministry capacity, we submit to one another out of the fear of God. That means we respect what God has done and is doing in their life. We honor, we value, and bring high esteem to the grace that God has given them in their life. Amen? And so that's how it works. Some people use that in the context of marriage, but that's not what he's using it for. He's using it first, and then he switches to marriage in the next verse, verse 22. But so this is in the context of serving and operating in the will of God and the work of God together as a church family, as believers. Acts 9:31 says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord. Everybody say, the fear of the Lord. And in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. So the fear of the Lord, number one, positions your heart to receive answers. That hence why we were kicked off last Monday fasting. Because what God wants to do to all of us is to rebaptize you and I in the spirit of holiness, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, and the spirit of wholeness in our hearts and lives. That means we got to go under heart surgery by the hand and help of the Holy Spirit to position us to receive answers from God. Our heart. Position your heart, because your heart needs to change. It needs to be repositioned where it can receive. Secondly, it promises divine protection, and it provides clarity and direction, and it produces riches, honor, and life. Everybody say the fear of the Lord. So we must assess and ascertain from ourselves, from ourselves with the question, do I fear God? Do I fear man more than God? That means, do people have a higher place and a higher priority in my heart and life than God does? What is the fear of the Lord? It is simply defined, as I'm giving it to you here, as the reverential respect. That means a revering respect. Not just a normal respect, but a high regard, high respect. Reverential respect, honor, esteem, and awe of God. In other words, we're not afraid of God, but the terror of the Lord to displease him terrifies you. To dishonor him terrifies you. To disrespect him in any way brings you great terror. That means that thing possesses you to where I don't want to mess up with God. Just like Joseph was when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, and she grabbed his coat and said, come sleep with me. In other words, let's put it in 2020, come have sex with me. And he said, wait a minute, I can't sin against God. He came out of that jacket. I can't do this and sin against God. Then he said, and, this is a powerful statement, and my master. But who did he put first? God. If I do this, I'm going to make God unhappy. And it's not going to be pleasing to him. Amen. In other words, you highly regard, value, esteem, and honor God more than anyone or anything else. Do you? Well, you have to say, Lord, rebaptize me in the spirit of holiness, in the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 11 talks about the seven spirits of God. One of the seven spirits of God is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. It talked about Jesus having the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And when that woman caught in adultery was thrown in front of him naked, he didn't look at her. He looked down and stooped down to the ground. He didn't even play around with pornography. He told her, go sin no more. Amen? He told many people in the Bible, go sin no more. See, people want to take sin out of Christianity today. But sin is still real, and sin still separates you from God. And sin God doesn't like. And so we have to say, what God doesn't like, I choose not to like. Why? Because I fear God. Amen. You choose not to lie, cheat, steal, live in sin because you fear God and honor God. The fear of God governs and guards your decisions, your thoughts, and your actions. If I do this, will God be pleased? Because you have to decide and fall on one side of the fence. You have to choose to be a God pleaser and not a man pleaser. Man-pleasing will mess up your life and have you and keep you in misery. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, and whoever trusts in the Lord will be what? Safe. A snare is a trap, a noose, or by implication, a hook for the nose. In other words, the people will lead you around by your nose, and have a hook in you. Because you fear them. You value their words and esteem them more so than God's word. And esteem for him. and it'll trap you. See, if we fear man more than the Lord, it will ensnare us and trap us in troubles. It will ensnare us and trap us in troubles. Proverbs 34:11 says, come, ye children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So over the 3 weeks, now we got 2 weeks left in our fasting time, Lord, teach me to fear you. Teach me the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is something that is taught and learned. It's not automatic. What do parents teach? Parents teach their children to fear God, to have respect for the things of God, to make priority the things of God. Amen. Back in the day, yeah, some of y'all remember old saints in here, the older saints in here. We mean back in the day, the old mothers and the old fathers of the church, elders of the church would tell you, you know, you don't do this in church. You don't do this. What was that? That was a type and semblance of, did you respect and honor God? Man, if you curse, man, they wash your mouth out with soap. Or you might have got hit. Can't do that today. They call you child abusing. Amen. They told you don't chew gum in church. You don't do this. Because what? It's irreverent. Don't talk and do things in church that would bring irreverence to the Spirit of God when the word is going forth. When people are praying. We've gotten so irreverent today that we don't regard God as we ought to. We don't revere God as we ought to. We don't fear God as we ought to. These things that must be taught. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The Proverbs 13:15-33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is in humility. What is this saying to us, friends? This is saying to us that your starting point is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the starting point and the finishing point of true knowledge. Of true knowledge. Some people look for Google as the true knowledge. Google doesn't have true knowledge. That's why you fast away from the things of the earth. You cut down on your computer time, your social media time, because everybody's got an opinion, just like everybody's got a backside. Everybody's got an opinion. And they post all kinds of rhetoric and rumors and even ridicule. You need to keep your face out of that book sometimes. Amen. But you need to go, the fear of the Lord tells you this is right, this is wrong, this is real, this is false, this is true, this is a lie. Come on now, this is what I love and this is what I hate. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, of wisdom, of instruction. Where do we start with? Does this please God? Does this honor God? Does this esteem God? See, wisdom, instruction, our learning, and our other sources is like this. Learning from other sources is like to eat of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. That means you're learning things without God's permission, like Adam and Eve did. And they listened to who? The devil. And they got deceived. And too many people today, even Christians, listen to the devil, and they're not listening to God. Why? Because they don't fear God. They don't put God first, and they're going to Google, and they're going to Facebook, and they're going to the internet, and they're going to their buddies and their pizzos and their ungodly associates, and they're telling them what they think is truth, and it's really falsehood and lies. That's why during this time, you want to get back to hearing God and listening to Him and seeing God from seeing things from God's perspective. That's what you fast for. So that means you get back into the fear of the Lord. You get restored back to that spirit of holiness on your life. Hallelujah. Amen. And what did Adam and Eve do? They led to death and destruction. And but by and through the fear of the Lord, we learn what God loves and learn what God hates. God hates divorce. God hates adultery. God hates things that that is put. Now you got to temper it with, you know, your certain circumstances, but you got to understand that God doesn't like these things. Amen. Proverbs 8:13, excuse me. Proverbs 8:13 says the fear of the Lord is to hate what? Evil. Anything, we said evil, is anything that takes you away from your God-intended purpose. So that means you hate anything that takes you away from God and the purpose of God. The reason why you exist today on January 12th, 2020, that anything that takes you away from God, you should hate because he hates it. Is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way. The evil way is walking in a way where you're drifting. You're being sifted by the devil. You're drifting from God. You're wandering too far from the fire. During this time, you need to be pulling up close to God to where you can even hear him whisper. And you say, yes, Lord, what are you saying? We get rid of the spiritual dullness and density and earwax, so to speak, where we can hear God. Don't go there. Don't go in that store because somebody's planning to be shooting it up. So you avoid this death and destruction. Don't go out with that person. They're going to try to tempt you to sin. Are you listening to me? I know this is tough, but just everybody say broccoli is good. Brussels, hallelujah. So we could say this. We could say it this way, like this: the fear of the Lord is to dislike or disapprove of whatever God dislikes or disapproves of. You don't choose; you just choose what He chose. Proverbs 22:4 says, by the humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. So riches and honor come by humility and the fear of the Lord. Friends, our Father God desires to be known, but an intimate relationship with him is only available to those who revere him. How many of y'all want to get intimate with God? You don't want to have a religious relationship with God long distance and it's cold and frozen. Feel like God's freezing you out. You freezing out God is really what happened. But you don't hear from God. You don't see God. You don't experience God at all. That's when you need a heart change. You're going to say, Lord, baptize me in the fear of the Lord. Because God's not going to compromise with sin. He's not going to compromise with sin. He's not going to compromise with selfishness. He's not going to compromise with selfishness. Where you want to do things your way and have your way and do your will and not his. He's not going to change, and he has never changed. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord and I change not. So the one who has to change is us. We have to pull up close to him and say, Lord, I don't hear you. I don't see you. Help me hear you. Help me see you. I'm chasing after you, Lord. But all the while, you're pulling off the clothing of sin. You're pulling off the clothing of selfishness. Hallelujah. That's why, because the holy fear gives God the place of honor and preeminence he deserves. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be honored. He's worthy to be adored. Praise God. He's worthy to be obeyed because he did everything for us. He rescued us from hell, death, and destruction away from him for eternity. So we owe him our all. Amen. So what do we do to reset this big change in our life, this key of the fear of the Lord in our life? Proverbs 23:17, do not let your heart envy sinners. So you got to stop looking and longing and lusting after what people are doing in the world. That's why we fast, to cut off our eyes a little bit. Stay off the internet a little bit more. Stay off TV a little bit more. Why? To get before God. Because when we see him, we will want him. When we see him, we will desire him, the Lord. He said, don't envy sinners. So if your conversation is all about what other people are doing and getting away with, let me tell you, let me give you an answer, short answer to the test. You're envying sinners. If you're talking about sin and sinner, what sinners are doing, you're envying sinners. Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews we are to run our pace with, race with patience, looking unto him. That means we have to have a fixed focus or a steady gaze on who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. We don't need to be looking around, just like the distracted driver. Distracted driving is the number one cause of accidents for the past at least 4 or 5 years. People texting. Why? Because they're looking around and they're not looking ahead and not paying attention to him. They're paying attention to what everybody else is doing and saying. Praise the Lord. Love you too, buddy. So don't let your heart envy sin, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. That means every day has enough evil and wickedness for you to avoid. That the enemy has tried to snare you or trap you up in. But he said, be zealous for the fear of the Lord. How long today? 24/7, 365. That means zealous means that I'm passionate and I'm full of zeal for what? The fear of the Lord. To know what God wants. Every situation you're in, you go to a restaurant, Lord, what do you want me to do? Who you want me to talk to? What do you want me to say? If you bring inviting somebody to lunch, maybe you're witnessing when you're being generous to them. What do you want me to say? Why? You're giving God a place of honor. You're respecting what he wants before what you want. Amen? Amen? You go somewhere in a shopping mall, like this mall across the street. Lord, what would you have me to do? We don't look around and just lust and long for everything. Come on, you look to the Lord. You take him with you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because, see, friends, if sin and carnality and selfishness don't bother you, then, or if you can look at sin or participate in sin without flinching, blinking, and sensing anything, we need to repent, and that's the Lord, to baptize us in the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Again, so we can desire and want to do the things don't want to do things that disrespect God, dishonor God, defame God's holy name or the name of Jesus. We don't want to bring any discredit to God. Amen? Now, key number four is forgiveness. Everybody say forgiveness. Amen. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 through 26. But Jesus answered and said unto him, have faith in God. For surely I say unto you, whatsoever things you say, says, whosoever says to the mountain, be removed, be thou cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says shall be done, he shall have whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you, that whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Friends, the next key number four is forgiveness. Now, we ought to be walking in the fear of the Lord, but we ought to be also walking in love and forgiveness. We as born-again believers and Christ followers have to walk in love, which means we have to walk in forgiveness. Forgiveness is an integral and important and intentional part of the love walk. That means you're not walking in love if you're not freely from your heart forgiving regularly and consistently. Because we know all kinds of people around us that's messing up, screwing up, living jacked up. Come on now, walking in disobedience. But you can't talk about them. You got to be forgiving them. You're a critical part of their life, particularly when they're away from God through backsliddenness or sin. And some of us get religious and we don't want to be around them. And we talk about their sin. That's not walking in love and forgiveness. Well, praise the Lord. See, not only do we see if we only like and love the people who get along and go along with us, then that's not necessarily the love of God in full operation in your life. Because if the love of God is working, then the forgiveness of the out of that love is working. Amen. The love of God constrains us and compels us to extend his love, and even to those who are different than us and those who are difficult to us. In fact, we're told in Scripture to love our enemies. Now, everybody in here has an enemy. And they're wrapped in human flesh. And sometimes it's the one sleeping in the same bed with you. They're temporary at that point. But you have to forgive them that may be in the same house with you. And they're temporary at that point. But right at that point, they're an enemy. So we have to do good to those that hate us. And we have to bless those who curse us and pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. Isn't that what Jesus taught? We just read that in the Bible, in our Bible reading as a church. This is our forgiveness walk in action. That means we're loving our enemies. We're doing good to those that hate us. We're blessing those who curse us. And as in Texas, sometimes we might say it colloquially, they might cuss us out or cuss at us. But he said, do good to those. Bless them. That means say something good to them and do something good for them. Don't sit and cry and complain. Oh, they cussed me out. How can they disrespect me like that? How can they, that hurt my feelings? Well, you're walking by sight. You're walking by the flesh. You're operating in the human class of love and not the God kind of love. The God kind of love will cause you and compel you to go the extra mile and to go higher, to go take the high ground and be able to say, I'm going to release love to you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do good to you. Hallelujah. Y'all getting something out of this today? See, our love and forgiveness walk greatly affects and negatively impacts our life of faith. See, unforgiveness is the number one thing that hinders God's children from receiving from him. That's why we fast and pray, because you got to get rid of that unforgiveness and bitterness and offense. If not, you won't get anything from God. The devil will come in without even knocking the door, without even opening the door, because the door will be open. He'll come right in and start stealing, killing, and destroying. Why? Because you got unforgiveness in place that gives him permission to come right in and be the thief that he is and steal everything from you, kill everything you have, and destroy everything you built. Unforgiveness is the number one, I'll say it again, thing that hinders God's children from receiving from him. Our faith won't work if we don't forgive. Whew. That's because an offended heart stifles faith and blocks answers to prayer. Man, that means you are spiritually constipated at that point. You can't get anything in and keep anything down, and you can't get anything out. Hallelujah. I'll say that again, because an offended heart stifles faith and blocks answers to prayer, as we see clearly explained by the Lord as we sit read in the verse Mark 11, particularly 25 and 26. We got us when we have anything against anyone, we got to readily and freely forgive them. So everybody say this with me. I must practice instant forgiveness and unconditional love. I'll tell you what that means in just a second. So what are we supposed to do with our love walk and the love God puts inside of our heart in 2020? Grow in love and grow in giving forgiveness before, during, and after an encounter with that person that may be different or may be difficult to you. They could be in your own family. get real good and at quickly and readily forgiving people who have hurt you. Because in life, you will get hurt. You will get hit. And who are harassing or hindering you. How do we do this? Well, Ephesians 4, 13, 15, and 16 tells you how we do this in church, in the church context. Instead, we will speak the truth, what? In love. Everything we speak, don't be hard Bible thumpers. Speak the truth in love. Growing up in every way, more and more like Christ, who is the head of the church, in the head of the body, his body, in the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work, and it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. So we grow in love by practicing love and forgiveness. So why do we need to come to church? Well, many of us need practice. If you don't come to practice, what does that mean, come to church? And some need to come a little earlier. Come so you can get some practice shots in. Come on now, you can't. This is a laboratory where you practice loving across the aisle and loving your neighbor as yourself. God gives us practice opportunities. Practice makes perfect. Don't be like the old guy, Allen Iverson, practice. What's practice? No, you practice. So if somebody come up to you, or if I come up to you and say, you've been practicing, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been practicing your love walk. You've been practicing your forgiveness walk. Amen? Because some people just want to stay the same and hold on to those tiny little grudges and tiny little offenses and a little bit of bitterness and unforgiveness and be mean and moody and mad, mean mug people. Philippians 1, 9 through 11 says this, I pray that your love would overflow more and more. We ought to be praying that almost every day. I pray that your love would overflow more. This is New Living Translation. That you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. That means knowledge and understanding of how to use the love. It's a big toolbox. It's God's biggest gift in your heart, the love of God. But you've got to open that toolbox and begin to grow in it. Your knowledge and understanding of how to use the tools. You got to use the tool set. You can't be ignorant. You got the love of God that is the highest entity and quantity of anything and everything in the universe, the love of God, because it's God himself. And you sitting here walking around with grudges and bitterness or unforgiveness or an offense. You're not using the tool set. You need to pray to God, help that love overflow more and more in my heart and life. That I'll keep growing in knowledge and understand. For I want you to understand what really matters so you are live pure and blameless lives into the day of Christ the Son. Why? Because every step out of love is a step out of God, and it's a step into sin oftentimes. And you have to get to God in a hurry. Amen. May you always be filled with the fruits of your salvation. That means you show that you're really saved. This is by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. By what? That you love one another. Amen. The righteous character produced by your life in Christ Jesus. This will bring you much glory and praise to God. We grow in our love through prayer. So that should be one of our prayers. God, help me grow in my love toward you and my love toward others. You can't live with a daily dose of haterade and operate in the love of God. I didn't say Gatorade. I said haterade. I suggest to you, growing in love is both know what and know how, just like the tool set I told. So you have to understand what the love of God is and comprehend and have a working knowledge of the love of God, because love from God is not natural human love. It's the God kind of love. Now let's read the love chapter briefly, and we'll talk about forgiveness in a minute. But we'll read it off the screen. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 says, though I speak with tongues of men of angels and have not love, and become a sounding brass or a changing, clanging cymbal, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith that so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am what? Nothing. And though I bestow all my goods, to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me, what? Nothing. And love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in what? Truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whatever, whether there are prophecy, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But that which is perfect, when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a mirror dimly, but then face to face, I know in part, and then I shall know just as I am also known. Last verse. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. We ought to be always dealing with those every day. Can't leave home without it. Don't leave your prayer time without it. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? Love. So this surpasses all other ways. The love, more excellent way of love, as it says in 1 Corinthians 12:31, surpasses all other ways, is now seen in detail, God's love. Natural human love is but a shadow, tainted by selfishness. We got to stay out of that arena and stay in the arena of the love of God. How do you do that? You have to yield to it. You have to respond to it. You have to receive the love of God afresh and anew every day. That's why you don't leave the prayer time without it. Amen? Some of us need to put it on before we put on any conversation or connect to anything from anybody else. Get in the love of God, because you're going to see things skewed or from the wrong perspective if you don't stay in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. At the heart, the highest kind of love is the concept of sacrifice. See, agape love gives, this is the agape word, completely and without a thought of anything in return. It is a reasoning, esteeming, willful type of love. See, first we see the first verses 1 through 3. Paul describes the atmosphere of love. Everybody say atmosphere of love. So that means Paul, by the Holy Spirit, did this by putting the four ministry gifts in context, or for what we call motivations. In context, you know, gifts, motivation, prayer motivation, faith motivation, and activism motivation, which painted the picture of the atmosphere in which life is to be conducted, the atmosphere that will change everything. So an atmosphere means that we appreciate, we value, we honor other people's motivations. Sometimes we're critical, so harsh, of people who have different motivations, particularly in couples. They think, well, this is different. You're different, but you don't despise their differences. You celebrate them. But some people want everybody to be like us. And everybody that's different, we don't love them. Or we express a dislike for them. Amen. Come to Wednesday night, you'll hear, it'll clear up more than that. I don't have time to talk about that much. All right, so number two. Secondly, beginning at verse 4, Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, describes the attitude of love. Everybody say the attitude of love. So when he talks about long-suffering and kindness, he provides for us, provides us with what we need to walk through the tense, tough, and troubling times that we encounter in life. So sometimes we can be hard to deal with when we're going through tense, tough, and troubled times, because everybody knows, get away from them. They're like a porcupine. They're going to stick you. Amen. But we ought to be easy, kind, not unkind. He gives the appropriate self-management skills for controlling our emotions so that we can walk in love and walk in forgiveness with other people during difficult moments. Amen. Everybody should know that when I go through tough, tense, and troubling times, that I'm not through walking in love. because I'm going through. You know, some people really just really become really carnal and really tough. Well, don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good now. Third, start in verse 5, Paul talks about the activity of love. Everybody say the activity of love. So he mentions rudeness and self-seeking and other qualities. When he does this, he's describing the things that love does and the things that love does not do. He provides these descriptions to help us to picture the proper response to love. That's what we practice. We practice our love responses. And every time, sometimes we get practice time every day. That family member says something wrong or does something wrong or hurts us. How do you respond? Well, if you respond in natural human love, it's going to be selfish and it's going to be defensive. And it's going to be argumentative. You're going to clap back at them. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We got to know how to respond. A love responder. Fourth, in the beginning, verse 6, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, talks about the application of love. Everybody say the application of love. Yeah. Where he says, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but love rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. In these verses, we learn what love looks like when we apply it. When we apply that love, we will bear all things. We will hope in all things. Amen. We will endure all things. Some people got short-winded or short endurance. Why? No love there. Because life is hard. Life is heavy. Then my family's harassing me. Well, praise the Lord. Let me skip down to the closing point here. See, when we hurt, when people hurt, two things occur. This is the forgiveness factor here. The action. Forgiveness deals with the action. Everybody say, deal with the action or the act. Matthew 5:44, so I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Mark 11:25 says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, you ought not to be praying without forgiving. Forgive him that your Father in heaven also forgive your trespasses. Walking in forgiveness is part of walking in love. Is it forgiveness should be practiced instantly? Everybody say instant forgiveness. Proactively, reactively, and regularly. So if you know you're going to have a tough conversation with someone, you prepare your heart by forgiving them before you have the conversation. And you don't have to go in front of them and say, I forgive you first. No, you forgive them before the Lord as you're preparing yourself, your heart and mind in prayer. Amen. If you're going out to eat on a Sunday afternoon, for example, and you know the long line's going to be waiting, and maybe some people called out at that restaurant and it's going to be short staff, you don't go in there and show out. You're a Christian. Go in there and forgive everybody. And say, I don't mind waiting. I just want food and stuff. If they mess up your order, tip them more. Do good to them. Don't punish them because they got 8 tables they have to wait on. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, Johnny Johnson, James Johnson, who used to be undersecretary of the Navy, said a lot of people think you can wait until tomorrow to forgive someone. Everybody say instant forgiveness and unconditional love. You can't do that. You don't have time. He said that thing, anger, hatred, starts growing up so fast, and if it happens, you might not be able to control it. That's why the Lord said he wants to change and touch people's hearts today, because sometimes we've allowed an unguarded spout of anger and anxiety and agitation to occur in our hearts. It's unfiltered. It's uncontrolled. And what has it done? It's taken our heart in a place of hardness and bitterness, where we easily hold on to the wrong and hold on too long to unforgiveness and that offense. And it's crippling your faith. And it's causing your prayers not to be heard. And you need to say, Lord, touch my heart. touch my heart. Amen. So you have to deal with the action. Amen. So how do you do it? You let it drop. Everybody say, let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. Give up the resentment. So we've heard that before, but we need to practice forgiveness. You need to let it drop. Think of it as a hot potato that just came out of the oven at 400 and plus degrees, and it's, you know, wrapped in aluminum foil perhaps, and it is burning, and it's on fire, and that thing, and you trying to hold it, it's going to burn you. Everybody say, let it drop. It's a hot potato. You got to let it drop. You can't hold on to that offense. You can't hold on to that grudge. You can't hold on to that unforgiveness. Please, ma'am, sir, don't hold on to it. Let it go. Let it drop. Let it go. Leave it. Don't pick it back up. Leave it. Let it go. Walk away from it. Let it go. It means it's down there. You let it go. You leave it alone. And give up the resentment, because you have to deal with the action. You leave it and give up the resentment, because that thing will grow in your heart. And then that's the second thing, give up the resentment, is the attitude. Everybody say the attitude. We have something to deal with the attitude. We have something to do to deal with the attitude. The Bible says whenever we bless, we take away the ability for it to hurt you. Whenever we bless, we take it away the ability for it to hurt you. So in other words, your response should be, when you're cursed, bless. When it's hate, you what? Do good. When it's enemy action, then you love. When it's persecution, come on, they talking behind your back and they speaking evil of you, you pray for them. 1 Peter 3:9 says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back. How do you pay them back? With a blessing. Bake their best pie, not your best pie, their best pie. Cook their best meal. For this is what God called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. Because when you bless, you take away for that ability to hurt you. What is the most important thing you need to carry into this year? Your faith unfettered. Your faith refocused. Your faith refired. But your faith won't work if you don't forgive. Amen? That offense will stifle your faith. When your faith is supposed to be growing, it's not growing, and that's a problem. When your faith is not growing and your prayers are hindered and they're not heard by God and they're not answered by heaven. Come on. How do you spell release from that? Forgiveness. F-O-R-G-I-V-N-E-S-S. Somebody say glory to God. Stand to your feet, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is instant forgiveness?